Welcome to this weekend's Mentor Moment. Each week, I bring you the most important and impactful clips from our most popular episodes. This weekend is Colin Harmon, the founder of 3FE. It's tempting to chase trends or aim for occasional brilliance, but Colin has built one of Ireland's most iconic coffee brands by focusing on something far more powerful: consistency. In this Mentor Moment, Colin shares why being consistent matters more than being cutting edge, how raising the floor instead of the ceiling builds long-term trust, and why timeless brands succeed by becoming a reliable part of everybody's everyday lives. If you want to hear the full episode, go back to episode 400. Here's today's Mentor Moment with Colin.
And there was a time, I suppose, like, so I used to do a lot of barista competitions, and like, it was very much like all my energy went into being like cutting edge of coffee, like, and traveling all over the world and doing all sorts of mad projects and stuff, just like this very niche kind of like pinnacle of coffee, and it's like very focused on a very niche market that would, it was kind of big deal in the small pond sort of stuff, you know, and trying to make that cup, you know, the best cup of coffee you possibly could, you know. And Eamon said to me one day, he's like, do you know why I come to 3FE? And I was like, because the coffee's great. And he's like, no. I was like, okay, here we go. Why do you come to 3FE? He goes, because it's never shit. And I was like, initially really insulted. It's like, what? He goes, it's never shit. And I was like, okay. And he goes, because I go to some place and it's great. And then I go back the next day and it's not. And it really annoys you. But I come here, just never shit. Well done. And I was like, huh. And then after a while, once I digested it, I was like, it became this kind of like internal kind of like,
was that a compliment hashtag never or an shit, insult? You know? Let me process that.
Yeah. So it's like, I know, but I think it's having that, like, it's, if I give you an amazing cup of coffee and say, okay, we need to make that 10% better tomorrow. How do you do that? It's impossible. But like, taking, like, ultimately people judge you on the worst thing you do. Like, so taking the worst cup of coffee you serve and making that better is, first of all, it's achievable. But also it means that low bar is there, because like, if you can give people a good experience and a good coffee every time they come, like, you have their trust and then they'll keep coming back. And I suppose suddenly the pressure was off in terms of like trying to make this incredible cup of coffee every single day. It's like, no, look, we're making lots of coffees. Let's just make the low end really good, you know?
Raise the bar.
And just changing
the board.
That focus made it a little bit easier to look at then opening more shops and doing more things. It's like, okay, that seems more, yeah, it's that thing about being like, it's an everyday business, and that's a really interesting part of it for me, is like just getting, you know, gaining people's trust and that you become an everyday part of their life, you know.
That's an interesting point about consistency, because I think that is what we crave most, right? You don't want to be surprised in a bad way.
Yeah, you don't want occasionally brilliant.
Yeah,
you know, just all the time we're just like
consistently good, not occasionally great.
Yeah. And I think like it's hard to find comparisons for what we do, I suppose, but it's like, I don't like you go to the pub with your mates and you'll have all these, you know, interesting craft beers from different craft beers, but like two or three of them are gone and everybody's drinking Guinness, and I'm like, what if we were Guinness, you know? It's really good all the time, you know?
Yeah, I think of that a lot at the minute, because there's so many new products now across the board, between tech, food, everything. It must be so hard for new products now to stick, because you have endless choice now.
Yeah.
Like, we literally, at the end of our fingertips, we have this little magical device that can deliver anything to us, and often now within the space of an hour, and it's getting faster and faster. Like, so it must be so hard for products to stick.
Well, like, even with coffee roasting, like, when we started roasting, and this is not an official list, this is just my own list. I had, like, a list of about, I think, like, 14 roasteries in Ireland. This was 2011. And currently, I have a list on my laptop that is not an exhaustive list by any stretch. I've definitely missed people. I discover new ones every day. But I have over 250 roasteries on the list.
What?
In Ireland. Yeah.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say it was like you've just gone down, but that's...
No. Yeah. And the bad news is that they're really good. Like, they're doing a really good job and they're lovely people. You're like,
I want to hate you, but I can't.
Yeah.
That was like the thing
someone...
where there was it's like the distillery boom. Like, there was a distillery in every county at one stage. Now that has died off massively, but yeah, that's wild. 250.
Well, my wife's from Kells, and when I met her first, I remember chatting to one of her mates, and he was saying, like, between the hotel and the GA club and the, and you know, the pubs and the, you know, all this kind of stuff, there, I can't remember, the, he said of something like 40 bars in Cal's. Mm. Like, no, there's not. Yeah. Town this side, no. But once you tot them all up, you're like, oh my God, there is, you know?
Yeah, I'm from Nina, and it's the same thing. I think Nina had the highest ratio of pubs to people at one stage.
Yeah. And it's all the ones you don't count, like the ones in the GA club or whatever, in the rugby club, and all the add-on ones, the hotel bar, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And all they start stacking up. And a lot of towns in Ireland were like that. And I don't think a lot of the towns are still like that. I think no. They've definitely decreased. But like I was saying before, that social kind of interaction still needs to happen somewhere. So it's a lovely space for it. And I think that's where that growth is. And I see more growth, I think, specialty coffee, especially, it's not really a term we lean on too much at 3FE, but it's like, it'll grow more, you know.
When you say specialty coffee, what do you mean as opposed to like normal?
So coffee's graded, and if you're, you know, below a certain amount of points, it's not specialty coffee, and it has to be, you know, graded by Q graders to get that standard. But it's not a protected term.
Is it a quality thing? When you say graded, like, what do you mean? So I've got this bag in my hand now.
Coffee is grown as in cherries, and inside the cherries there are two seeds. They're not beans at all; they're seeds. You got to take the cherry off the seed, and you got to dry it. And there's various ways of doing that, and each one of those ways has different impacts of flavor. And then you got to get it to a roaster as soon as possible, because it's not like wine. As soon as it comes off the tree, it's going downhill. So you got to get to roaster quicker, and then you roast. It comes like, it looks like hulled peas. Like it's hard. And when you roast it expands and turns brown. And then you got to brew it quickly. So the fresher it is, in general terms, the better, you know. But the term specialty coffee, like you go to like a petrol station or, you know, chip fan around the back of a football stadium, and they'll say specialty coffee. So it's not really protected. So for that reason, we don't really use that term.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, we've had coffee in the past, like, so everything we sell is specialty, but we've had coffees over the years that have probably dropped below it. But Steve would say, we're putting this on because it's mad. And it's like, it doesn't tick the boxes to get the points to be classified as, like, it famously had a coffee label, and the descriptor was like strawberries dipped in cow dung in a good way.
I love that. Yeah, that's. So there's novelty value there too, yeah, isn't there? It's like the cat's coffee thing. You're like, stuff, yeah. Okay.
So, like, aside from the every now and again we'll do something for, let's say, experiential stuff. You know, like he once actually sold defective coffee, so people could know what defective coffee tasted like. It was only a bag of defect,
right?
If it was phenol, I think what it was, but anyway, but yeah, so that's the term given to it. But like, I think what we try to do in all things, like in our processes and the ways that we try to simplify. So for me, it's just coffee, just really nice coffee. If we'll do all the box ticking and sourcing and grading and all that kind of stuff, and make sure it's good standard, and measure your moisture levels and watch the roast curves. And so all you got to worry about is just turn it up, and we'll have done all the stuff. Now, if you want to learn about that stuff, you know, you can bore you to tears. But like, trying to simplify those things for people, I think is I think where we do well is like actually just making things simple for people.